appreciated the Sunday school lesson. The last verse in our lesson was, "But thanks be to God that we can have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Are you experiencing victory this morning? Victory over death can remove the sting of death. Such a interesting lesson. Were you ever going through a discouraging time in your life? You felt down, discouraged? And someone came along and gave you a little bit of encouragement. Maybe they just said a few words. Maybe they just said they're praying for you. Maybe they just said they're thinking of you. Maybe you even got a text message from them. "Hey, I'm thinking of you today." And you found that so encouraging. Or maybe you met someone or been with someone, and after they left, you're like, "Wow, that person was so encouraging. They had a way of just lifting your spirits. They just had a way to make the day look brighter. They just, whatever the struggle you were going through right at the time, just seemed like they were there just to lighten your load." Well, that's encouraging. That's encouragement. And so many times in life, we need to be encouraged, don't we? Life brings. It's just the way life is. This morning in our Sunday school, we got a glimpse of that new life that's going to come. I'm excited about that. You know, we, living on this earth, we find so many discouraging things in life. But brothers and sisters, let's keep our eyes focused on what's coming. Let's not miss it. Talk a little bit about that. Anyway, well, we do find discouraging. Life brings discouraging times. Whether if it's in church life, or whether if it's being a parent, and you're in the middle of raising your family, and this can be discouraging times. But maybe there's an older brother, and maybe it's a grandpa, or whatever, comes along and says, "Hang in there. You're doing good." Or maybe gives you a few pointers. That's encouraging. We say, "Thank you. We needed that." Well, we all like to get encouraged. We all like to be encouraged by someone, don't we? But to be encouraged, we need to give encouragement. That's what I want to say. We need to give encouragement as well. Look for opportunities to encourage my brother. Do I look for opportunities, or am I so narrow, so short-sighted that all I can see is me, myself, and what I'm going through? And I can find myself in those shoes so often. And it's my thing and my struggle and my failures and whatever, the list could go on. And I forget about that brother that sits beside me on church Sunday morning. I forget to look into his life or whatever, or my neighbor down the road, whatever it is. If I want to be encouraged, I need to be ready to give encouragement and look for opportunities to give encouragement. So easy just to get so narrow-minded, short-sighted, we just see ourselves. Anyway, well, for a message this morning, I would like to look at a man in the Bible from the New Testament that was an encouraging man. Actually, they changed his name because he was an encouraging man. Could you imagine someone giving you a nickname because you showed that much encouragement? Well, that was the way this man was. We'll read about him in Acts chapter 4. This man's name was Joseph. According to the Amplified, here is how you pronounce it. Acts 4, verse 36. And Joseph, who by the, if I'm pronouncing that right, my Amplified says now, Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas. And we all know who Barnabas was. That's who I like to talk about this morning. The title of my message is Lessons from the Life of Barnabas. This man named Joseph was such an encourager that the apostles here, which being interpreted, okay, now Joas, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the man of consolation. Now that phrase, man of consolation, means it was a man, it was a son of encouragement, is what that means. And his name was Barnabas. Well, this man Barnabas earned this name from the Jerusalem Christians. Barnabas was drawn to people he could encourage, and he was a great help to those around him. And we're gonna look into a little bit of this man's life. Talk about a man that was, I could see why he got his nickname, Barnabas, son of consolation, son of an encourager, because that's what he did when you study into his life. A blessing to the early church. His encouragement just poured out of his life as he went around living his life. His influence would affect the Christians around him, the young Christian church. And it even affected the non-Christians as well. And he had a way of influencing the Christian church here. And it brought more people were saved by Barnabas' life here. Well, a little bit into his life, more about this man. Who was he? Well, it says here in verse 36 that he was a Levite. And he was from the country of Cyprus, whose surname was Barnabas by the apostles. Like I said, it was interpreted means the son of consolation. Well, this kind of tells you what kind of man this Barnabas was. He was a man of encouragement. That's why they changed his name. Well, the challenge to my own life, what kind of a person am I? Am I that kind of a person that as I go living my life, as I go about, as the influence pours off of my life, how does it affect you? How does it affect the ones that I'm around? How does it affect my wife and family? How does it affect me in my community, in my neighborhood? How does it affect me in the church? What kind of name do you have this morning? Maybe you don't have a nickname. Maybe your name wasn't changed to Barnabas. But really, what kind of name do you have? Are you a person of encouragement? Do I look for opportunities to encourage others? Or do I just drag others down instead of lifting them up? Do I always have a negative attitude? And somehow that attitude just kind of wears on the rest of the and drags people down. Or do I lift them up by my encouragement? Well, that's the kind of man Barnabas was here. He was an encouraging man, but we also see that he was a solid Christian man. And blessed the church, the early church, many ways. You know, we don't read a lot about Barnabas. We do some. As you go through the book of Acts, you'll see little glimpses of his life. He wasn't out in the forefront, like Peter or the Apostle Paul. So, you know, we don't read a lot about him, and yet there's a lot about him. And I was as I was studying this sermon, it was so challenged. But I like to think maybe he was one of those quiet men, maybe in the background, just quietly doing what God had called him to do, quietly living his Christian life. And as he did that, there was an influence that went from his life. But he was a tremendous blessing to the church, and he encouraged people all around him. Well, I'd like to read, if you are turned to there already, Acts 4. We read about, and this is the first time we read about Barnabas. Acts 4, verse 32, and the multitude of them that believe were one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the prices of them of the things that were sold. And they laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Now we're going to stop reading there for a little bit. I don't know, when you read these verses, do you get the heartbeat of these people here? I'm challenged when I read these. We have the early Christians here, the early church. In verse 32, they believed in one heart and one soul. They were together. They had a common goal in mind. They were believers in Jesus. They accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. And you can just see that here. But they had all things in common. Did they have different backgrounds, different upbringing? Probably did. But they had things in common. It's amazing. A group of people that want to do what's right. A group of people that want to accept Jesus as their Savior. And there's a change that happens in their lives. And we see that change here. I see it, a unity. A group of people that want to go right. That want to do right. Well, verse 34. None of them lacked. None of them lacked. Do I have that heartbeat for my brothers and sisters as well? Do I have a common goal? Do we have a common goal together? None of them lacked, and there was any among them that lacked, for many that were possessors of land or houses sold them. And what did they do with the money? They put it back for retirement, because they went on vacation and they just lived it up for themselves. No? What did they do with their money? Well, they had extra land. I don't know if they were, probably were farmers. Maybe they didn't need all this land. I don't know. I didn't do a lot of the background study of this, but they had extra. Maybe they had a big house that they decided to downsize. Whatever it was, they had extra. They sold that extra. They didn't stick it in the savings account the way it looks here. Maybe they did some. But no, they brought it to the apostles' feet and said, look, there's people that are believers that are, maybe they sat beside with them on church Sunday morning. They had needs in their lives. They weren't as blessed as I was. And so they took this money and gave it to the apostles' feet, and they laid it down at the apostles' feet, and they said, look, here's our money. Here's land that we had. Here's that house, that extra house we sold. Here it is. Distribute to the needs that are among us. And they did that. And they laid down the apostles' feet. And there it was. And it says, and no one lacked. The people's needs were met. I like that. I like that a lot. Because they had things in common. They weren't about retiring. They weren't worried about living a good life. I don't think so. They were about building each other up. Well, anyhow, that's not my... I'll move on. That was not full intent of my message. But in all this, what impresses me as well in these verses, it picks out a man this man Barnabas, this son of encourager, the son of a consolation, the man that was named Joseph that they changed to encourager, Barnabas, he fit very well with this category of people. It says here, he also having land, sold it and brought it and laid it to the apostles' feet. Does that kind of tell you what kind of man was in among these people? A man that had a common goal. A man that looked beyond his driveway. A man that seen the needs of his brothers and sisters, probably dead. Also, having land, he sold it and brought it to the apostles and said, there you are, distribute. That's the kind of man Barnabas was. And you can go on to chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. You know, they did the same thing, but the story does not read good. They lied. They acted like they were giving it all, but they lied. See the difference? We have a man Barnabas. Well, I see a man that had a common goal, seen beyond the needs of his people, and was willing and ready to live it and show an example how I live. Well, moving on here, what other lessons can we learn about the life of Barnabas? That he showed an example on how to help new believers. And we're going to turn over to Acts chapter 9. Well, we have in this chapter the conversion of Saul. And before this, we have a little bit of Saul's life too. And we just, if you would read a chapter prior to this, we have the stoning of Stephen. And who was the man that was there involved helping that whole murder scene go on? It was Saul himself. But we have him. But we have Saul, a very aggressive man here. We have Saul aggressively attacking the Christian church. And he didn't like this. These people, these believers. And he was very aggressively trying to get rid of the Christians. And we see him stalking off to Damascus in chapter 9. He has a goal in mind, because they heard about the Christians there in Damascus. And he's on his way. Well, we all know this very familiar story. Well, he didn't quite make it to Damascus, but we have God stopping him right in his tracks. And we have Saul falling down. Oh, it's that big bright light that shone out of heaven. And we have that voice out of heaven, and he says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Saul, I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And we have Saul there, laying flat out. And we have this bright light shining about him. Well, we have, this is Saul's conversion experience. And we have Saul trembling and astonishing. He said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said to him, rise and go into the city, and thou shalt be told what to do. And he gets up. And sure enough, he could not see. He was blind. And these men that were with him, who were so astonished, they led him by the hand, and they took him to Damascus. And he for 3 days, Saul didn't eat or drink. I do think there was a lot of things going through Saul's mind those 3 days. I don't know, but I imagine there was. Imagine he was thinking, what is going on? What was he to do? But we have brother God speak to Ananias, telling him to go speak to Saul. And we have him doing that. And we have the Lord telling Ananias that I have chosen Saul he's a chosen vessel to bear my name to the Gentiles. And we can definitely see that in Saul's life, in the Apostle Paul's life. Well, we have Ananias going and speaking to Saul. And we have Saul. Yes, he was blind, but he also was spiritual blind. But when Ananias spoke to him about Jesus, all of a sudden he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And his eyes, the scales that were across his eyes fell off, and he could see. But he also could spiritually see. He found Jesus, and he became a believer. Well, and so these verses are such a tremendous challenge to my life. What do we have Saul doing? Well, in verse 20, he goes out and he preaches Christ. I'd like to plug this in a little bit this morning. It is amazing when someone chooses to fully choose to surrender their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a change that can be. And we see a man that was, how many days later, what was he doing? He was trying to get rid of the Christians. He was persecuting them. And 3 days later, after Saul yielded his life over to God and accept Jesus in his heart, and he was filled with the Spirit, he goes out, and what does he preach? Is that Christ is the Son of God. This morning, we can experience a change when we turn our life over to Jesus. And this morning, if there's anyone here that are trying to live the Christian life with not having that full conversion experience, or not fully having their life turned over to Jesus, and wonder why you're having struggles or challenges, brethren and sisters, we need to grab hold of what Jesus can do. He will change you. He did it to the Apostle Paul here, and he can do it to you and I. A change. Well, anyway, moving on here. Well, Paul's preaching didn't go very well here. He went out, became bold, a soldier for Jesus Christ. He was preaching boldness. Verse 22, and Saul increased more strength, and they confounded the Jews that dwell in Damascus, proving this is very Christ. But this didn't go down with the Jews. After many days fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But laying awake to know enough Saul, they watched the gates as day and night. They were watching opportunities to kill him. Well, the disciples seen his life was in jeopardy. The disciples seen that he was in trouble. So one night, they dropped him, put him in a basket, and dropped him out of the Damascus city. And he escaped. So we have Saul trudging back up to Jerusalem. A different man when he left. A changed man when he left. He was a believer. And he's going to go back to Jerusalem to find the Christians, because that's where he wanted to be with. Well, we have him coming. We have him coming into Jerusalem. And he wanted to identify with the Christian church there. And when verse 26, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. Meaning he tried to associate himself with the disciples, but they were afraid of him. Believe not that he was a disciple. There was Saul, trying to connect with these Christians. But they were afraid of him. Do you blame them for being afraid of Saul? Well, sure, I don't blame them. All they heard about him was bad. And what was he trying to do? Was he trying to trick them? Was he trying to act like he was a believer to attack them? How did they know he changed his way? How did they know that he was a believer in Jesus? You know, all they could remember, probably that fresh memory of him out there stoning Stephen. That was fresh in their mind. Well, do you wonder how Saul felt, though? I had to put myself in his shoes. Here he is, a new believer in Jesus. He had to flee Damascus because his life was in danger there. He travels up to Jerusalem, and there he finds the Christian church holding him out and said, I don't trust you. He wants to join himself with the Christians there in Jerusalem, but no, they hold him at arm's length. Well, they didn't welcome him. Do you wonder if he questioned, is it really worth being a follower of Jesus? Do you think that went through Saul's mind? Well, it doesn't say it here, but I like to think it probably did. I'm sure the devil was like, you know what? Just go hang out with your old friends anyway. They're not going to accept you. You're out there just by yourself now. You're trying to find your way. Well, we have these verses that doesn't read that, but there was a man that put me, that was I was very challenged with, and that is this man Barnabas. There he was. There was the church. They had no time for him. And there comes this man Barnabas. But in verse 27, this verse reads different. What does it say? It says, but Barnabas took him. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared how he had seen the Lord on his way to Damascus and how the Lord had spoken to him. And now he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. The local Christians there gave him a cold shoulder and did not want to welcome him. But Barnabas was willing to risk his life to meet Saul and then convince the others that their former enemy was now a vibrant believer in Jesus. Did you ever wonder what would have happened to Saul if Barnabas was willing to stick out his neck and be the mediator between the church and Saul? What happened to Saul anyway here? I don't know. Maybe they would have eventually accepted him, but we have Barnabas. Tremendous encouragement to my life. Was willing to step out of his comfort zone and say, Saul, come, you've changed. I know you did. Church, accept him. He is a believer now. He preached Jesus at Damascus. He found Jesus on the way to Damascus. He is a believer. Accept him. This morning, we all like to be accepted, don't we? None of us like to have a cold shoulder or not welcome. It doesn't make us feel very good, does it? When we go somewhere and people don't welcome us, when they hold us at arm's length. But this man, Barnabas, was willing to willing to stand up for what was right, even though there was no standing with him. You know, he could have maybe told Saul, you know, I'm not sure, I'm kind of between a hard place here. The church doesn't want you because they don't trust you. And really, how can we trust you, Saul? All we know is bad about you. And really, why? You just sit in the back bench here for a while until you prove yourself. Just sit here for a while until we see a little bit of fruits come out of your life. Just calm down a little bit here, a little bit. Barnabas was willing to stand up, even though it was against what the church wanted, and he was stepping out his comfort. How did he know that Saul really changed? Maybe him and Saul sat down and talked for a while before Saul. I don't know. But we have Barnabas pouring his heart out to a new believer and was willing to accept him, giving him a chance. How many times have I held someone out at arm's length, given someone a cold shoulder, didn't welcome someone in, maybe because I didn't trust them, or maybe it's because all I heard was bad about them, or maybe I just heard stories about them in the past, and all you heard was sort of bad. And so many times, maybe it's people coming in our churches, in our church. Maybe it's even the brother beside us. So many times, we hold him at arm's length and say, just prove yourself for a little, then I'll trust you. Or just wait a little. It's going to take time until we really accept you. And I don't blame the Christian church here, early church here, the early believers for not wanting to accept Saul, because really, when it come down to it, Saul didn't have nothing to show for, really. He was out to persecute, and Saul was aggressive. He was out to kill the Christians and persecute the Christians. I think he would have done whatever it took. And I can understand why they held him at arm's length, but I also am encouraged with Barnabas willing to stand up and say, I'm going to give you a chance. I'm going to accept you as my brother. Come, come on in. Just make yourself feel at home. You're a believer now. So we have a big heart in Saul and Barnabas reaching out and accepting him as a changed man and saying, look, church, accept and well, this man changed. He had an encouraging experience. Well, I got to keep moving on. Well, another lesson from the life of Barnabas is chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. I'm going to read these verses to 30. And now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that rose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came, had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all with a purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarshish for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians, first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them, Agabus, sanctified by the Spirit, that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which were passed unto the days of Claudius Caesarea. And the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwell in Judea, which also they did, and sent the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Well, we have the early church with persecution, especially here it talks about Stephen being stoned. That scattered a lot of the believers. And as they scattered, to me it was another encouragement. They didn't quit preaching Jesus. As they went, they took the gospel message with them. And so the gospel message was scattered throughout all some other than nearby countries. And people were becoming converted. The church was growing. And the hand of the Lord was with them all. Well, it says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Well, the news came back to the church here in Jerusalem, and they heard what was going on. So the apostles sent Barnabas to Antioch. And we have Barnabas coming to Antioch, who, verse 23, when he came, had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. Well, we had Barnabas coming, and what he seen, he was very glad what was happening. And he, what does he do? Well, he encourages this Christian church here. He just pours out encouragement. And he exhorted them all, which meant he warned, he urged, he encouraged them with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. That they would cleave unto the Lord. And when Barnabas saw all this, he was glad and gave them tremendous encouragement to the people there. He encouraged there that they would just cleave to the Lord. So, but it also says what kind of man Barnabas was here. What kind of man was he? Verse 24, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. This describes what kind of man Barnabas really was. His influence touched many lives, and many people were added unto the Lord. Barnabas presents a wonderful example on how to help new Christians. He demonstrated strong faith. He ministered joyfully with kindness and encouragement. He taught the new believers fuller lessons about God. You know, he spent a little time with them, but he just didn't drop them out of his life. But he wanted to continue to encourage him. What does he do? Well, he runs over to Tarshish and he finds Saul and brings Saul back. And they're there a year in their assembly, preaching and teaching. And we see these two men just pouring their all into this work. And the church of Antioch grows. And here's where they are called Christians. A Christian church. Many people believed in Jesus. And here they were first called Christian here at Antioch. A man that was willing to give himself fully for the work. A man that was committed to put his all into the work. Well, we see men like Saul and Barnabas. He had a burden for the work. Men that had a burden for the work. And it was committed to walk beside these young Christian people that were new in the faith. And they were willing to invest their time in spreading the gospel. Well, am I encouraging to new believers? Am I encouraging for the work of the Lord? Do I give myself for the work of the Lord? Am I willing to be a Barnabas today? Willing to get out of my comfort zone and to go and take this message to the fallen world that's out here. You know, we live in a dark, fallen world. Do I have the heart of Barnabas this morning? Do I care about the loss around me? You know, we don't have to run to a mission field. We can start a mission wherever we are at to our neighbors. And as a challenge to me, I like to go live my own life and I forget about the loss about us. Well, let's be Barnabases that are willing and ready to step out, to continue to step out, and to continue on preaching and teaching and encouraging. So what he did, that they would grab a hold of the Lord Jesus. All right, well, we have in Acts 13, moving on, we have Paul and Barnabas going on that first missionary journey. Talk about two men that were committed. And it's just, I won't take time to read, but it's interesting. You study that missionary journey, the trip they made, everywhere they went, they were taking the gospel message with them. And they were talking to the lost about them. They were talking to the unsaved. Was it an easy trip? No, it wasn't. But we had men that were committed for the gospel and touched a lot of people on that trip. Well, moving on, I think it's end of chapter 15. We have Paul coming to Barnabas and saying, you know what, it's time to make our second trip. Let's go see how the men are doing. Let's go see how the Christians are doing. Let's see how they're faring. Well, very good idea. Well, they do find themselves into a little bit of a problem. We have Barnabas. He was determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. So we have Paul, thought it was not good to take with them. Who didn't stick with them? He said he departed them from Philemia and went not with them to work. Sounds to me like John Mark was with him for the first part of the trip. But he didn't stick with them. Doesn't say why, but he left. So Paul and Barnabas got into a disagreement here. And it was a pretty big disagreement. And it says in verse 39, there was contention was so sharp that they split apart. And you wonder why this had to happen here. You wonder what the story was behind. I don't know. Why couldn't they give in? Why couldn't Barnabas give in? Why couldn't they make something work out? Well, they split ways. I don't know the whole story. Sure, they had their... But we do see one problem that Paul had was to take this brother John Mark along. Paul apparently didn't think he was really committed. And the first trip, John Mark left him. John Mark, somehow, I don't know if he decided the trip was too hard or had an excuse, but he left him. I don't know if, apparently Paul had that in mind and said, look, John Mark is not that committed for this work. But we had Barnabas. He was determined that John Mark goes along. So we see they had a problem here. And if you would study a little bit into John Mark's life, if there was any man that stood beside John Mark, and I imagine through the goods and bad times, a man that was willing to stand beside John Mark and give him the encouragement he needed was Barnabas. And Barnabas was committed that And I think that's why he was so determined that John Mark go along. And maybe the apostle, maybe Paul didn't know John Mark that good. Maybe Barnabas looked in John Mark's life and seen such hope. Maybe Barnabas like, yes, he's coming. I believe a trip like this would just do him some good again. He does so well. He just needs to be encouraged to hang in there. And he was willing to stand beside John Mark and beside, in spite of his failures. Well, we see those men split in ways. They both, they didn't let that disagreement stop them from the work of the Lord. They went their separate ways. John, Barnabas, he took, or the Apostle Paul, he went his way. He chose Silas, took Silas, and John Mark took, or Barnabas took John Mark, and they went their separate ways. I think they both had a good trip, and the Lord blessed both works. In the end, they both came together in agreement. What blessed me through this all was, if you read when Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, Paul is writing to Timothy, and what does he say? He's telling Timothy, Luke is only with me. Take Mark. Mark? Who is this Mark? Oh, it's John Mark. He says, take Mark. Bring him to me. For he is profitable to me in my ministry. Now the thing changes. Bring Mark. Here, Paul didn't want anything to do with John Mark along, but now he's saying, bring him. For he is helpful for my ministry. Maybe John Mark must have more matured and grown in his Christian life that he told Timothy to bring him. Paul said, I need him. Apparently it must have been John Mark maturing and growing. But was it because of Barnabas that stood beside him? I don't know. I like to think that. It was because Barnabas was willing to, day in and day out, stand beside John Mark and give him the encouragement John Mark needed. And now we have Paul saying, Luke, or telling Timothy to bring John Mark, for he's a help for my ministry. Well, the life of Barnabas is a real encouragement to me. He has inspired me to be more of an encourager and to be encouragement. As we look at Barnabas' life, it shows that we're often presented with situations that there is always someone that we can encourage. People came into Barnabas' life, and he was an encourager everywhere he went. So many times, it's our tendency, maybe I should say it's my tendency, so often, is to criticize someone. We criticize instead of helping someone. We criticize someone's shortcoming. We criticize sometimes the choices they make. We criticize and say, will they ever mature and grow up? Especially maybe as a young Christian. Maybe it's young people, and sometimes we just shake their heads and it's like, what is it going to take? Let's don't give up. Instead of criticizing, let's take the Barnabas way. Let's take Barnabas an example, how he faithfully stood beside someone, and with his encouraging manner, his way of encouraging, he stood beside someone. And so they would make right choices. I like to think that's what he did with John Mark. If there's anyone that stood beside him was Barnabas. Encouraged him. Encouraging. We need encouragement today. We live in a real world. Especially encouraging. We need encouraging the young and each other to remain faithful. To remain faithful and say, listen, it's worth it. Keep on. Keep striving. Keep pressing on. Well, this morning, let's be Barnabas today. Let's be Barnabas today. Let's be encouraging. Let's be sons of encouragement, sons of consolation. Let's have that name ringing out of our lives. Let's have it. Well, like I said, if you read the verses I read about in Acts 11, verse 24 says, "For he was a good man, full of Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." This morning, let's be Barnabas today. Let's pray.